Kathy's just called in. Hi, Kathy. Very well. Hi, Ronnie. Now people are starting to call in. Now we're getting a bunch of names. Hi, Terry. Good to see you. I hear you. To a degree. Now this might, I may be transferred to doing testing, but we're going to be waiting to see on that one. So, I'll say plenty to keep me busy. Well, I see we're getting a whole bunch of people calling in now. A bunch who. Hi, Jesse. Hi, David. David used to repair my Honda. Very good. Well, we'll wait a couple more minutes for a few more people to calling in. Oh, yeah. I don't want to take too much time. Paul hasn't called in yet. I don't know why he hasn't called in. Maybe I'll give him a call. I'll give him a real quick call. Who's playing music? Thank you. Yeah. Hi, Ruth. We're happy to have you with us. You've been writing some wonderful articles for the Coach Valley paper there. Well, I'm calling Paul.
Paul Stanford, voicemail.
Paul Stanford. Thank you. Maybe I better say.
Please record your voicemail.
Paul, you're supposed to be calling into the radio show. I texted you. Bye. I will send him a quick text, but then we'll get going because Edison's here. Edison can talk a little bit. We got Michael here who is could talk a little bit about his case in Fontana, and then God, we're getting more and more people coming in now. Okay, wonderful. Wow, a lot of people. All right, let me give Paul. I'm going to text Paul real quick, and. See if I can set. Yeah, I haven't muted everybody, so everybody can talk if you want. But if all of you start talking, it's going to be kind of a mess. Yeah. Oh, I'll be muting everybody when the time comes. But when the time comes after, you know, for the question and answer period, we'll unmute. Okay. Okay, I'm sending Paul a text message. Sure, absolutely. No, there is not a single doctor's office in the Coachella Valley anymore, not one. No, I don't. Oh, I don't know the doctors that were there. Oh, okay. Oh, my. I haven't heard anything about him. I didn't really know the gentleman at all. Yeah, but all the doctor's offices, Dr. Cow closed all his Greensite medical offices, every single one of them. He operated about six of them in the Coachella Valley and the Inland Empire. He had one in Moreno Valley. He had one in I want to say Ontario. He had one in Palm Springs, one in Rancho Mirage. And And he just closed them all because it just wasn't any business. And any state that's legalized, you don't need, but there's still advantages to having a doctor's recommendation, especially if you want to grow your own. Here in California, of course, you're limited to six plants if you're just growing under adult use. But if you get your medical recommendation, you can grow as much as medically necessary. So if you need to grow 15 plants to provide you with the amount of medicine you need, then you can grow 15 plants and you're legally. There's a couple other advantages to having a recommendation, especially if you're a parent. Why 64 was written this way, I have no idea, but 64 says that if you're a medical marijuana patient, CPS cannot use the fact that you use marijuana as a reason to take your children from you. But if you're not a medical marijuana patient, they can. Go figure. And of course, if you're under 21, you can't use it legally, but if you get a recommendation, you can. So a lot of people who are 18, 19, and 20 get recommendations. Other things, like another thing is when you leave your house, if you're just a recreational user, you can't have more than an ounce on you. But if you're a medical marijuana patient, you can have a half pound on you. Now, why you're going to leave your house with half a pound of marijuana, I have no idea. But you can if you're a medical marijuana. Yeah. But you can still get, you can get your recommendations online. Helen Cherry used to operate Serenity Medical, is operating a medical marijuana clinic online, so you can get your recommendations there. And she says she's really busy, but they're doing recommendations not just for California, but for a whole bunch of other states as well. You know, very well. What was that? Serenity Medical, S-E-N-R-E-N-I-T-Y. Serenity, yeah. Oh, really? A real live doctor? You go to the office and see them? Well, I didn't know that. So I can tell people that there's a place, because there's no one in the Coachella Valley anymore. You can actually see a real doctor. But there is, as they drive, it's funny, people usually drive down to the Coachella Valley for all their marijuana needs. And now it looks like people from the Coachella Valley, if they want a recommendation, will have to drive up the Yucca Valley. Of course, they can get it online, too. Really? Does he only do it for his own patients, or would he take a walk-in patient just to write a recommendation? You just go medical marijuana doctor. Just type it into a search engine like DuckDuckGo or Google, and it'll come up with doctors for you. But there is Serenity Medical, but the one that's local here in California, is Serenity Medical, S-E-R-E-N-I-T-Y. So, well, let's get going. Paul has still not called in. I don't know what the problem is. But I'm sure I'll message him again, but let's get going. I'd like to welcome all of you. We've got quite a few, so thank you all for calling in to the MAP meeting today. We didn't have one in July because the first Saturday was on July 4th, and everybody was too busy not going to fireworks shows that were canceled. So we didn't have a meeting then, and so here we are, first August 1st, we're doing our meeting, and thank you all for coming. Edison Gomez is here now. We'll have him talk in a few minutes about what's going on in ANZA. He says there's some new things, and so I think that's going to be very interesting. And Michael Harris has called in, and Michael is involved in the lawsuit in the city of Fontana when the city of Fontana had passed these very onerous regulations, making it just about impossible for a person to cultivate personally in their own home. He challenged it in court and won, but there's more going on right now, and he can fill us in a little bit of what's going on with that. Anyway, the first things I want to mention, though, real quickly, is that for those who saw the email I sent out this morning at 4:20 in the morning, we had a major success in the U.S. Congress and the House of Representatives. Once again, the House passed this. It was called the what was the name of the amendment? It's four names: Blumenauer and McClintock and Norton and Lee, four different members of the House of Representatives. And what they did was, as you know, since 2014, there's been an amendment attached to the appropriations bill that has to be passed every year, which denied the Department of Justice any funding to prosecute people in states that have medical marijuana laws, prosecuting for federal marijuana prohibition laws. And it's been very effective. It's pretty much stopped that. But that only applied to medical. So this amendment would apply not just to medical, but also applies to states that have legalized it for adult use. So the federal government cannot come after a dispensary for selling marijuana to somebody who's 22 years old if they're licensed by the state. A very similar measure was introduced last year. It got passed by the House, but it died in the Senate. The Senate would not attach it to their appropriations bill, and the Senate and the House came together to merge the two bills. It got dumped. And I think this I don't know if that will be the problem this time. What's going to be interesting is that, they keep talking about it being a bipartisan issue, but it's got to be, like I wrote, one of the most lopsided bipartisan issues in Congress, because in the House, 97% of all the Democrats voted in favor of the amendment, and only 16% of the Republicans did. So when it gets to the Senate, the same bill was being introduced in the Senate last year. Last year it was introduced by Cory Booker and a couple other senators. I imagine they're doing the same thing again this year. Whether it gets into the Senate appropriations bill, it remains to be seen. Like I pointed out, there's several senators that are running, and the one specifically that comes to mind who's a Republican is Cory Gardner. He is the current U.S. senator from the state of Colorado. He's being challenged by the former governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper. Gardner has been a big supporter of legalized cannabis. Hickenlooper, on the other hand, when he was governor, wasn't that big a supporter. In fact, when it got passed, he made the statement that if I had a magic wand, I would wave it and make it go away. Come around. About a year or so ago, he was in a panel, and somebody asked him, would he still do that? And he says, if I had that wand, I'm not so sure I would wave it anymore. It's working out pretty well. So, but still, Gardner is better on the issue than Hickenlooper's ever been, but he's not doing very well. Hickenlooper seems to be beating him, and the U.S. Senate could help Gardner a lot if they were to pass this amendment, because then Gardner could take a lot of credit for it because he's a Republican, and it might get him a lot of votes and maybe enough to turn the tide there. But I don't know if the Senate's going to do that or not. But if the bill gets passed, and Trump has said he would sign this bill, he has indicated he would sign it. So if it passes the Senate and the House, we will effectively have ended federal marijuana prohibition in states that have legalized it, because the DEA and the federal agencies won't have any money to prosecute that. And we've seen this number of times. There's a number of cases. Somebody was coming up for they had been convicted, and they had appealed to something like this, and the judge threw the case out of court saying, you can't spend any money defending the government's position. So the case is moot, and he tossed the case. And there's a lot of cases like that, so there's very few federal cases going. So it's a very effective strategy until we finally get cannabis removed from the schedule of controlled substances. It's a good stand-in until then. Okay, well, let's see. Let us get to... So let me see. Has Paul come in? Paul? No, he hasn't. So I'm gonna introduce Edison Gomez. Edison comes from the Anza Valley, where he was one of the founding members of the High Country Growers Association, which is a kind of an association of cannabis cultivators up in the Anza Valley. And the Anza Valley is a unique situation for growing marijuana. Perhaps, Edison, you can enlighten us about that, and then tell us about the horrors that are going on in your area right now. Okay, that's really fascinating. And, you know, what's so sad about it is that that it would be a major boon to the economy of Anza if they were to allow cannabis cultivation, because it would become a mecca for people from Los Angeles County and San Diego County. They'd be streaming up there to come visit the cannabis farms in the same way they stream up to visit the small wineries and stuff in Temecula and so on. It's a beautiful area, and people would certainly make day of it going up there and going to the restaurants and buying gas and going to the stores as they go from to visit the different cannabis farms. How do the board of supervisors stand? I know Jeff Hewitt is very much in favor of it, isn't he? Okay, anybody got any questions of Edison? Well, I guess you answered it. Okay, go ahead. Edison is. He's a young man, and he's getting involved in politics, and we need young people like him getting involved in politics. Thank you very much for enlightening us, Edison, on what's going on up in Anza. And folks, if you haven't ever been up to Anza, you haven't been up there in a while, you know, take a trip up there. It's a beautiful area, and take a look and see what's going on. Okay, well, Paul, we appreciate it so much. Paul has not contact me, so I don't know what's going on. I hope he's okay. But we do have with us Michael Harris. Michael, as I explained earlier in the meeting, brought suit against the city of Fontana with the cooperation of the ACLU and the Drug Policy Alliance for their draconian cultivation orders, which just made it just about impossible for anybody to cultivate their own cannabis in the city of Fontana. So, Michael, you did win this case. Why don't you give us a little rundown of what happened, why you're going back to court? Finally made it. Okay, go ahead, Michael. We'll get to Paul in a few minutes. we shall see what happens. Maybe they'll wise up, because the attorneys made a lot of money from that original lawsuit. And once again, if they win, they can make a lot of money again. Anyway, thank you. Right, and that's probably why the attorneys are willing to come back again, because they want to make another $100,000. Unbelievable. Well, thank you, Michael. Paul has made it in here. We're going to have to Paul, it's 2 o'clock, and we usually try to end the meeting a little bit after 2, 2:15, 2:20. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Maybe you can abbreviate some of the things we're going to talk about. We do really want to hear about the two initiative petitions that Oregon has, the one that would decriminalize all drugs, making personal possession, I guess, I don't know, how does it treat personal possession? Is it a fraction or just perfectly okay? Pretty good. And are both initiatives, they're polling well, they expect to pass? Have any of the federal agencies, the DEA, for example, come out and rattle those sabers? Is there any kind of, what is the organized opposition to these ballot initiatives? Anybody have any questions on these initiatives, Paul? Okay, no questions, fair enough. Paul, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what's going on with the legalization of cannabis in Oregon. Oregon legalized in 2014, and one of the remarkable things that happened were last year the price of cannabis just plummeted to like $500 a pound on the wholesale market. Why was that? $150 a pound. Dropped so low. I've read that Oregon has been taking in a lot of tax money from the sales. Now, the tax system in Oregon is a little different than other places. Can you explain it? For sure. Now, there's one of the problems we have in California is that there's a local option, and like 75% of the cities and counties in California have barred any kind of distribution or manufacture or cultivation. Is that true in Oregon, too, or are they not allowed to do that? Also, one last thing, Paul is an avid cultivator. He has been cultivating cannabis for a long time. He has won numerous times Oregon Normal's Medical Cannabis Awards Trophy for what it was called Lemon Haze. Is that what it was called? That you're thank you very much for calling in, Paul. I appreciate the. I was really curious about. Yeah. Does anybody have any questions of Paul before we wrap things up? Anyone else? Okay, well, Paul, thank you very much for calling in and enlightening us about what's going on up in Oregon. I'm watching those ballot initiatives, especially the decriminalization one, very, very intensely. That is a, you know, that's the beginning of, I always said that the legalization of marijuana was the first step in ending the war on drugs. If you can't make marijuana legal, you'll never end the war on drugs. Well, we've been doing that pretty well, and now this ballot initiative in Oregon, which is going to decriminalize all drugs, is another step forward in putting another nail in the coffin of the war on drugs. So I certainly hope it passes, and we'll just see how the feds react to that. Anyway, thank you all for joining in. We'll have another meeting on the first Saturday in September, which will be on Saturday, September 5th. I'll see if I can get another speaker or two of the caliber of Paul and Edison. And thank you so much for calling in, Michael, with that information on the Fontana situation. And Edison, I sure hope somehow this thing just eventually works its way out for the citizens of Ann's. It's just a tragic situation going on up there. By the way, if you go to one of the search engines like DuckDuckGo or Google and type in ANZA marijuana raid, you'll come up with a lot of pictures of what's going on up there. So it's interesting to see. You'll see the sheriffs in action raiding and tearing down people's crops and so forth and so on. Well, anyway, thank you so much. Once again, if you are, I imagine probably most of you are on the newsletter list, but if you're responding to the show from a post you saw on Facebook, on Instagram, you can get on my email newsletter list. Just go to marijuananews.org, and at the masthead, you'll see the thing that says newsletter. Click on that and fill out the form, and you'll start receiving my newsletter. And also, I'll just make my shameless pitch. You know, we used to have the in-person meetings. I would pass a little jar around to people asking them to make donations. So it costs about $150 to $200 a month to run this group. Not a lot of money, but there's the money from the website and the cell phones and some other things. So if you care to make a donation, you can do that at the website as well where it says donate. And you can also join our 420 Club where you can donate $4.20 a month. That's 14 cents a day. Credit card. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. Please tell your friends about us, and we'll see you all next month on the first Saturday at 1 o'clock. Bye-bye.